Welcome to the devotional Bible study on the Psalms. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 27, verse 2, continuing on from last week. Psalm 27, verse 2, I shall read. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. We saw previously that the Lord is the all-sufficient God, and He was David's light, salvation, and strength. This was a threefold cord that cannot be broken, despite the ferocity of the adversary. And now in this verse, verse 2, David provides an account of God's faithfulness to him in the face of the wicked, from the experience of the past. And so we first begin by saying in verse 2, when the wicked, the root word of the meaning is to, means to break, in contrast to being whole. It is to crumble and not to endure. It's to decay and not to nurture. This is what it means to be wicked. In scripture, the wicked are opposed to the just, adverse to the righteous God. That's from Psalm 7 verse 9. Full of pride and evil schemes, Psalm 10 verse 2. They bless the covetous, Psalm 10 verse 3. They contemn God, Psalm 10 verse 13. And they shoot the upright, Psalm 11 verse 2. They are compared to dogs, a roaring lion, and a raging bear. These do hurt, harm, and vex the people of God. So from this we see the character of the wicked men. They are described as enemies who heave trouble and anguish upon the saints, and as foes who with great hostility war against the holy people of God. This is from the beginning, from the time of the Genesis, from the time when Adam was kicked out of paradise. This is the war between the woman's and the serpent's seed. The reason why there is such, the reason why the wicked hate the godly is because, as Thomas Watson says, the wicked do not hate the godly for their infirmities, but for their holiness. And from this hatred arises open violence. You see that the wicked, they do not hate when the godly sin. They hate it when the godly are godly. That was so with Christ. He never sinned. And yet, though he was perfect, harmless, doing miracles to help those in need, yet was he hated. So the wicked hate the godly as they hate David, as seen in this verse. The thief hates the light, therefore would blow it out. And so we ask, if the wicked are so strong and mighty, coming upon the Christians, where then is the battling Christian? Where are those who will go forth to war in the banner of the Lord? How many have turned slothful in their walk with the Lord? How many have turned timid, not standing up for the truth? How many would bear the mockery of men of the wicked instead of defending the faith? Where is the soldier who will war a good warfare, as the Apostle Paul says, holding faith and a good conscience in the strength of the Lord? Instead, Christians, instead of fighting against the common enemy, the devil, the world, and the flesh, they fight amongst themselves while the battle rages without. They mock their brethren, they scorn the saints, and turn a deafening ear to Christ's command to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christians, instead of fighting against the common enemy, fight against each other. Is there not one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all? Ephesians 4 verses 5 and 6. If that be so, the saints must be united as one. Let this be our prayer, as it was John Wesley's. Lord, if I must contend, let it not be with thy people. And so next, we see the wicked terror in the following part of the verse. Even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat. They came upon me to eat up my flesh. So this is the wicked terror. When it says they came upon me, this is not just to come for a visit. They do not just gently approach the saint, but this is, they are charging violently upon David. This was the same word used when Pharaoh and his armies were marching towards the Israelites while they were at the Red Sea. Pharaoh drew nigh with his army. They could not just be walking in the breeze, but they were marching headlong to kill the Israelites. And so this is what it means to that the wicked came upon David to eat up his flesh. What does this mean? As a fire to devour and consume all that stands in its way, as a sword that pierces through all its foes, as a lion would leap upon its prey of meat, so do the wicked upon the godly. This is what the wicked do the godly. Such are compared to beasts. That's why it said that they eat up David's flesh as though they were beasts, both brutal and irrational, seeking to harm the harmless. As Richard Sibbs say, as Spurgeon says, like cannibals, they would make a full end of the man, tear him limb for limb, and make a feast for their malice. As Richard Sibbs say, as great fishes eat up the little ones, so great men make no more conscience of eating up other men than of eating bread. This is taken from Psalm 14, verse 4. Psalm 14, verse 4, when it is said by the psalmist, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? And they eat up the saints as though they were eating bread. They persecute the saints as if it was their daily meal. Yet, even in this situation, David says, of whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Learn from this, that those can be in the greatest calm who are in the greatest distress, or in the greatest storm, when their hope is fixed and anchored steadfast upon the Lord. So where is your ship anchored upon? Is it anchored upon men or upon the Lord? And the next part, the wicked stumble and fall. They came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. They stumbled. They were overthrown. They were made weak. This is what the word means. Their eyes were too lifted up in pride that they did not see the road before them. They did not see the stones below them. They stumbled upon the rock of ages. None can maintain their balance before the Almighty. They did not die fighting against David, but they died before they even got to the battlefield. And they did not just stumble, but they fell as well. There are many that stumble but are able to maintain their balance. But these, the wicked, they stumble and fall. This word means is the same word used when Judah and his brethren fell prostrate before Joseph. So will all God's enemies fall crushed beneath the feet of Christ. For no power can stand when God is on our side. So what can we learn from this? Let us ensure that we never be found fighting against God, or we shall be as grasshoppers contending against the Almighty. He who should be our greatest friend must not be provoked to become our greatest enemy. Let us seek reconciliation, or we shall meet with condemnation. Next, all who are in Christ Jesus must not forget God's deliverances. As David remembered here before that the Lord had delivered him from his enemies, from the wicked men, so must we remember. Let not our memories fade away. For when we recall the deliverances of our Lord, it is a builder of faith and the establisher of our hope. Our memory is as the flower of grass that quickly fades away. And so we must have the recollection of God's mercies to be our constant meditation. And so though trials may test us, though Satan should tempt us, though the world should hate us, yet in God we will put our trust. He that predestinated us called us. He that justified us sanctifies us. And so he that preserves us now will glorify us and continue to preserve us till we come to his kingdom. There is no cause for fear when the Lord is near. Lastly, we see the wicked's jesting is but for a moment. They can lift their heads in pride. They can scheme and seek to devour their enemies, even. But their mockery shall turn into sorrow, their glory into shame, their triumph into defeat. As Plummer says, the temporary success of the wicked is only an introduction to their deeper disgrace and misery. The men of Ai may win the former battle, but they shall be devastated in the latter. Worry not, saint, for your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And so I shall end with this quote by Thomas Manton. You think providence does not deal righteously because the unworthy are exalted and the worthy depressed. Do but tarry a while, and you will have no cause to complain or to grow weary of wanderers. They are never nearer their own ruin, talking about wicked men, than when they come to the height of their exaltation. Who would envy those that climb up a ladder for execution? And so those are the wicked men. So let us take comfort in this, that though we may suffer persecution in this life, the Lord will exalt his justice. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So let us trust in the promises of the Lord and keep on fighting on against the enemy. Amen.